We'll turn there and look at a few things. I think the last time I preached was on a Sunday morning, and I preached out of this chapter. And after that, I had the thought that came from another verse in this chapter as well. And so tonight, I want us to look at something. We're going to go back and kind of overview the entire chapter here in just a moment. And I'll do that in just a second here. I think I'm on. All right, good. Ephesians chapter 4 is where I want us to go tonight, and we're going to kind of skim through the chapter here very quickly. It's kind of a fairly long chapter. How many verses? 32 verses in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. This chapter is a chapter that I enjoy reading. I think everybody probably has their favorite book of the Bible and maybe certain chapters that you just enjoy reading, and this is one of mine. I enjoy this chapter. It is a chapter that you'll find that Paul is writing here and basically going over a little bit of the Christian life and what God expects out of the Christian in his lifestyle that he lives. And I believe that it is important, the way we live our life. We should live our life in such a way that is a testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's a tall task to try to meet. It's a high standard to try to meet. But in this chapter, Paul is going to make reference to a lot of different things that we would skim through and think that is pretty basic. But when you really think about it, it's a pretty tall order to try to meet some of the standard that you'll find here in Ephesians chapter number 4 in regard to the Christian life. And we'll get into that in just a moment, but let's pray, and we'll get right into our lesson or our study tonight in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to come and to be with your people in your house. And Lord, this is a special place for us, and we thank you for it. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the blessings that we experience here together, and we praise you for what we have even here tonight. We do pray once again for Brother Richardson as he's away from us. We pray for your help and blessing and protection upon his life. And Lord, we do pray once again that you protect him as he travels home tomorrow. May you give him a good time away, and Lord, may he be encouraged in the meeting even tonight. And we just pray that you would just bless in his life, and Lord, do a work in his life. We pray now that you bless our time together as we take your word once again, and as we open it up and as we read and study, we just pray for your help and your blessings tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 4, you'll find here, Paul often would talk of himself. And we find in verse number 1, he declares himself here as a prisoner of the Lord. He was a servant of God. And Paul was one that was very concerned about his life and making sure that every day, every minute counted for the Lord Jesus Christ. Very dedicated. And of course, we're not going to go into a study on the life of Paul, but we are going to take some of the writing here that we find and look and break down. It is a good, easy chapter to read. A lot of very basic truths that you'll find here that we ought to put to practice in our life. And our lifestyle should be centered around the Word of God. We should be concerned about what God wants from us, what God expects from us. And in this chapter, you're going to find a little bit of an insight to what God does expect out of us. Verse number 1, he goes on to say, Paul here, beseeching you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I mentioned that in a message back before about the vocation. It's our job to live a life that portrays Christ because we are saved. It is our vocation. It's our job. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. And everybody that is a child of God is called of God. Sometimes I'm afraid that people in churches believe that only the pastor's called or maybe a missionary is called. I believe every Christian is called. I believe that we're all called to duty and service unto God. There is something that your life can give to the work of God, and you are special to God, and God wants to use you in His work. And Paul goes into talking about that. Now, this chapter is jam-packed, if you would, full of information and It deals, if you would, once again with how the Christian should live his life from day to day. And the Christian life is every day. It's not just something that we do on Sundays, and it's not just something we do on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. The Christian life is every single day of the year, every minute of the day. Our life, and we need to be concerned about our life and how we live our life. We ought to not waste the time that God gives to us and the opportunities that God gives unto us. Even the day today we've had is a gift from God. The time that God has given us today is a gift from God. But in this chapter here, you'll find the word walk is mentioned. And Paul specifically talks about the Christian and how he ought to walk, how he should live his life, how he should conduct himself, how he treats others, the responsibility that's given unto him. And in this chapter, Paul's going to break it down very basic in a lot of areas of our life and how that we should live our life from day to day. And you'll find the word walk used, I think, maybe a couple of times in this chapter. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about how the Christian lives that person's life, how the person lives its life from day to day. Now, you'll find here that several things are going to be mentioned. I'm going to skim through the chapter. I'm going to miss one of them, and then I'm going to come back to that one and look at just one area that Paul gives some advice about something, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. But we'll skim down through the chapter here real quickly. You'll find in verse number 2 the word, and I'm just going to make mention here of certain words in certain verses in the chapter here. You'll find beginning in verse number 2, he mentions the word lowliness, means humble, and how that a Christian ought to live his life in being humble. That's something that we have to work on. It's something that we'll strive to be a humble individual. Humble would be the opposite of being prideful. We are to not be a prideful people. We are to be a humble people. Lowliness, Paul mentions here. And he mentions also in that verse, meekness. The word meekness means to be patient. It means to be mild. The believer should not be someone that is hot-headed. The believer should not be someone that's not patient. That's something we all have to probably work on a little bit, especially in the day and age that we live in. We want everything right now. Paul is describing a little bit of what ought to be the foundation of the Christian life. He talks here about lowliness. He talks about meekness here. You'll also find in verse number 2, he talks about forbearing one another. Means that you would take another believer and put them before you and not being someone that feels like you've got to be first all the time, but yet submitting to others and putting others before ourselves. So as we see here in this chapter, Paul is breaking the Christian life down. He's dissecting, if you would, the Christian life. He is making it very practical. It's easy to understand. It's an easy chapter to read here. And Paul is just, completely filling this chapter here of the Christian life. And I have no idea. I didn't go back and write down all of them. But there is, I don't know how many instructions are given in this chapter. But you're going to find here that Paul gives a lot of information in this chapter about how that we, as a believer in Christ, should live our life. We look at some and think, well, you know, that's a pretty easy task. Well, I find it to be true that our flesh usually is going to be contrary to whatever God's Word tells us we ought to be. And it's some areas of life that we have to work really hard on. Some may struggle with certain areas where others may find it easier to succeed in that, but yet maybe struggle in other areas. But down through this chapter, Paul is going to mention a lot of information of what God expects out of me as a child of God. We talked about lowliness in verse number 2, meekness in verse number 2, forbearing one another in verse number 2. You go to verse number 3, it's our job to keep unity, as we find here. And unity is very important. By the way, unity is extremely important when it comes to a church. It takes unity inside of a church, because when you have this, when you have where it's a church is not unified, you're going to have a lot of problems. And a church filled with God's people ought to be a church of unity. The word unity, of course, means oneness. It means working together. It means all the working parts work together with a common outcome or a common goal. And that's our job. It's our job to work together with one another. And it's not always easy working with one another because everybody's different. Everybody has different ideas. Everybody has a different way of doing things. But in the end result is we have to submit to one another. We have to forbear one another. We have to work in unity. And when you can work in unity and when you can forbear one another and we work in meekness and lowliness, we find that the cause of Christ can be accomplished. But we're not going to accomplish much if we don't follow God's plan and God's pattern. He goes on, and we find there in verse number 3, keeping unity. And we find that that is very important. I'm going to skip down here. You go down to verse number 12. You find the word edifying. I think edifying is a word that is so often overlooked. I almost was going to maybe do a little study on edification tonight. But the word edify means to build up. And that's our job. It is your job as a child of God and as a member of this church to edify one another. It means we are to build one another up. You know, we don't need to tear each other down. The world does a good job at that. We get beat down in the world, and it's the world that tries to tear us down and beat us down and stomp us down. But as a child of God, it's our job to edify one another, to encourage one another, to help one another. To help build one another. And that's just as much your job and my job as it is our pastor's job tonight. Everybody thinks, well, that's the pastor's job. No, it's your job, dear friend. It's your job to help and encourage one another. It's your job to pray for those who have needs. You know, tonight, people have shared prayer requests tonight and needs that people have. And you know, when people ask us to pray, we ought to pray. I feel like it's a sin not to pray when they ask us to pray. That's part of maybe trying to help someone, but it goes much further than that. The word edifying, it means that you take a personal responsibility in another believer and doing all that you can within your power to help them succeed in the Christian life. And that's a tall task. That's a tall order. So, well, that's the pastor's job. Well, that's the deacon's job. That's the Sunday school teacher's job. No, that's your job to find a way to help another believer to succeed and become stronger and to grow spiritually in their life. Because if we're not edified here, where are you going to get edified? You can't go buy that at Walmart. You can't go to Kroger and buy it off the shelf. I mean, that's something that comes inside, I believe, the house of God, the people of God, and we edify one another. And everybody needs encouragement. And I don't care who it is. Everybody at times needs someone to just encourage them, to kind of pat them on the back a little bit every now and then, to let them know that you're praying for them, that you love them, and come through when maybe they're in a time of need. And we ought to be that kind of a people. And so you find the word edifying in verse number 12. Down in verse number 15, you find the word speak truth. We ought to be a truthful people. And we ought to tell the truth. You say, well, that's something you tell a child. No, you know, sometimes you need to tell adults that. I have found that our world is full of liars. I mean, people will lie to you straight to your face and knowing that they're lying to you. Well, God's people ought not to be that way. If the world's going to be that way, so be it. But that doesn't mean that God's people ought to be a people of lying. I mean, we ought to speak the truth and very important as well. And then you get to verse number 22, and we'll find here in verse 22, this is the verse that I used the last time. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So you're to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You find in verse number 24 that you are to put on the new man, that being the new man of Jesus Christ. And that's something that we'll strive to do every day of our life, is to live like Christ. We don't need to live like the old man, we need to live like the new man. And that is a job to do that every day. Because we live in a sinful, dark world. We live in a world full of evil and darkness and corruption, and it's not an easy task to take and to live the new man. But that's something Paul here describes, and how that you have total access as a believer to the life of Jesus Christ. We're to put on that new man every day of our life, put off the old man and put on the new man, and live your life inside that new man. We also find here, verse 25, it says, tells us that we don't not to lie, we're to speak the truth. Verse 28 tells us that we'll not steal. And you think, well, you know, how basic is that? Well, we live in a world of thieves, dear friend. And boy, you'll find that everybody's trying to cheat you out of a dollar. But God's people ought not be that way. We ought to be honest in what we say, and if we say we're going to do something, we ought to do that. I believe God's people ought to be a honest people. We ought to speak the truth, and it ought to be so obvious to the world that there's something different about us that they know that Christ lives inside of us. And Paul goes on, and he talks about in verse number 29 that we ought not let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. That means that you ought to be careful what you say. The language that you use and what you say, you ought to choose your words carefully in life. Brother Richardson made reference to this verse back in the winter time, and after church I told him one night that the next day I was going to go meet with our gas company that cut us off on our supply of gas. And I told him, I said, well, I guess I'll have to watch what I say. I can't let any corrupt communication come out of my mouth. Because I like to tell him a whole lot of corrupt things. But anyway, and joking with him a little bit. But it's serious. God, you know, God expects His children to speak a certain way. And the language of God's people is going to be different than the language of the world. The words that we use and what we say and how we say it. And I mean, even the very words that proceed out of our mouth ought to be Christ-honoring. So as you find here, it is a very, very tall task that Paul gives us just in one chapter about the life of a believer and how that our life ought to be lived every day that we live here on this earth. And he talks here about the corrupt communication, and boy, we live in a very perverse world when it comes to what people say nowadays. I mean, you can't even hardly go to the grocery store without hearing some vulgar language used by someone. And, you know, I don't know if it's, if you get, I don't know, y'all, maybe y'all can help me here a little bit. I got to the point where I'm not going to sit and listen to a bunch of people cuss. And it doesn't matter where we're at. I mean, somebody uses foul language, I'm going to say something. I just feel like I don't have to live listening to that all the time. And not being ugly and so forth. But, you know, people need to realize not everybody talks like that. And a child of God ought to speak a certain way. And it ought not be the way the ways of the world, right? So we find here, he talks about the corrupt communication. Be careful about that. Be careful what you say in verse number 29. Verse number 30, he talks about how that we ought not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Very important. You know, we've got to remember this. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. If we all chose tonight to go down to some bar somewhere tonight, guess what? If you're a saved individual, and if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and if you walked into a bar tonight, you're taking the Holy Spirit inside that bar. And that would grieve Him, I promise you that. But there's a lot of things in life that we got to be careful that the Holy Spirit of God, that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And that's a message in itself, and a lot could be, we could really study a lot about that as well. You find in verse number 31, Paul says, be careful and not be a bitter individual. Don't be bitter. It's easy to become bitter. It's easy to get your feelings hurt. And you say, well, you know, I'm pretty tough. Well, I promise you, you stick around long enough, sooner or later, you're going to get your feelings hurt. But don't allow things in life to make you bitter in life. Don't allow hardships to make, you know, they always say, don't allow the hardships to make you bitter. Allow the hardships to make you better. Because bitterness is, boy, if you allow it to grow in your life, it's like a disease that never ends. I mean, it continues to eat away at you and eat away at you. And, you know, the old saying, life's just too short to live that way.
Don't allow bitterness to overtake you in life, because if you feel like just because you're a child of God that you're always going to get treated fairly, you're going to be sadly mistaken, dear friend. In fact, you're going to find that because you are a child of God, you are going to get mistreated in life. And things are going to happen, and you're not going to understand it. You're going to have hardships and heartaches in life, and your heart's going to get broken at times in life, and life's going to knock you down, and you're going to get trampled on and stepped on and stomped on. But you can't allow the world to cause you to become bitter in your life. And Paul talks about the Christian life and how don't allow things to make you bitter. You know, they say that the worst people to be around is a Christian who has become bitter at God. And that's very true in a lot of different ways. And I've met a few people in life that have become bitter at God. And to be honest with you, those people are the ones I hate being around more than anybody else. Don't allow bitterness to break you in your Christian life. Paul goes on, he talks about how that in verse 32, you ought to be kind, and how that we ought to be a people that is kind one to another, and we ought to show that kindness to people. We ought to do good things for people. We ought to be a help to people. We ought to encourage people. We ought to be, we ought to be that one that people are glad to see is coming. I have met people, and to be honest with you, I know some people in life, I hate to see them coming. You ever met somebody like this? Oh my. Here comes so-and-so. You might as well sit down and get ready. They're going to tell you all their problems. It'll take them 2 or 3 hours. You know, we'll not be. And I'm not saying we can't share our problems with one another. But, you know, let's not live our life always sharing our problems all the time. Every now and then, you know what? Sometimes people don't need to hear your problems. They need to hear you say something encouraging, something positive. Something that will kind of build them a little bit, because they've been torn down all day long at work and had a hard week and things haven't gone well this week. And boy, they come in here on a Sunday. Hey, they need to hear somebody say, you know what? God sure is good. You know, people sometimes just need to hear about the blessings of God. And so he talks there about being kind in verse number 32. Also in verse number 32, you'll find the word tender-hearted. And how that as a believer, I am to work at looking and making sure that my heart stays tender towards God. Because I live in a world that tries to make my heart calloused towards God. And I need to be tender-hearted. You'll also find in verse number 32 that we'll forgive one another. And we're going to need to remember that one, because even in the family of God, even in the house of God, even a child of God at times is going to do you wrong. But you've got to be willing to forgive that individual. You know, isn't it amazing how that we love to praise God for His forgiveness, but boy, we hate giving forgiveness. Isn't it amazing sometimes how that we can praise God, we can sing about the forgiveness of God. We love that God has forgiven us, but isn't it amazing? I met somebody not too long ago, to be honest with you, an adult that's still bitter at one of their parents to this very day. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm not saying maybe you weren't mistreated. I don't know what maybe happened down the line, but boy, you know, you live in your life always being bitter at a parent, dear friend, for the rest of your life. I mean, what a sad way to live your life. You've got to learn how to forgive that person. Here's what they'll say. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, praise be to God, we don't get what we deserve from God, because we don't treat God too good all the time either. And I'm glad I can still get forgiveness from God. And I've got to be able to forgive others that maybe are in the wrong. And one of the reasons I need to be willing to forgive them, because there's going to come a day when I need forgiveness from them. There's going to be a time when I need to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, or I didn't do this, or I did this, or I shouldn't have said that, or whatever the case may be. You know, there's going to come a day when I may need forgiveness from them towards me. And all throughout this chapter, as you can see here, Paul breaks down the Christian life into different segments of the Christian life and reveals under us what God expects out of us. And as you can see, there's a lot to digest in this chapter. There's a lot of information here to go over. And we didn't even scratch the surface here of everything that we find here in this chapter here. In fact, you could take Ephesians chapter 4 and you could study it for a long, long time, weeks after week. And boy, we could break it down verse by verse. verse and word by word and spend a long time studying just this one chapter in Ephesians chapter 4. But I want us to go back, and I want to go back and maybe look at one verse that I did not mention here, an interesting verse in itself, and that's verse number 27, where Paul tells us here, neither give place to the devil. Now, to me, a little strange that Paul would tell a believer to not give place to the devil. Now, what Christian in his right mind would give place to the devil? But you would be amazed how often that we give place to the devil. Now, the verse here is talking about how that, you know, you don't need to give him opportunities to attack or come into your life. It means that you need to be on the defense. You ought to be on the lookout. You ought to always be making sure that the devil doesn't have a place where he can come into your life. But what's sad, many believers, they save the devil a seat in their life. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes you meet other believers and multiple problems, and you're wondering, how in the world can you have that much? How can life get so complicated? And it all starts where they just opened the window, or they just maybe cracked a door open somewhere in their life, and they invited the devil in. And you know what? Every time he finds a way to come in, I promise you, he'll keep his promise. He's going to move in. And Paul says, as a believer, you need to live your life every day in such a way that you do not give place or an opportunity for the devil to come and to work into your life. And how often we are guilty of giving place to the devil. I don't need to give him any opportunities. In fact, I want to try to keep him beat down for me as much as I possibly can. I don't like attacks from the devil in life. I don't invite them. I don't ask for them. They come. They find their way. And oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in a problem. And most of the time, it's in our own making because we do something foolishly. And we do things and not think of the consequences of maybe choices we make in life. And all it does is give the devil an opportunity to start working a little bit in life. Now, with that being said, hold your finger right there, and I want you to go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 as well. This was a verse that I was going to preach on tonight, but I'm going to incorporate it even into what we're looking at here. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, one verse, a very well-known verse here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," he's your adversary. He is not your friend. He's your adversary. He's your enemy, if you would. You'll find here in verse number 8 where he goes on to say because your adversary, and by the way, you have an adversary in the devil every day that you live. So, well, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry. That's just the facts of life. Now, the Bible here describes him and tells us here he is as a roaring lion. So, the Word of God here takes the devil himself, and he's not a lion, he's as. So, they're using a typology here and saying it's almost like a roaring lion. Here's what the devil does. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you realize tonight, and you can go back to the book of Ephesians real quick. Do we realize tonight that the devil walks around and he's looking for someone that he can devour? By the way, he takes a look at you too. He takes a look at me. He takes a look at Brother Jones. He takes a look at Brother Dwayne. He takes a look at everybody in this room. Nobody's exempt. The devil will always take a look at you and see, are you someone that I can devour today? He's looking for someone. Now, if you study anything about a lion, and when a lion will attack, it always tries, and it always looks, and it always watches, and it pays very close attention to what it's about to attack, and it's always looking for the weakest member. It's looking for the weakest link, For instance, if it were to be sheep that it was going to attack, the lion will always attack the sheep that kind of strays off by himself, or maybe it's got a bad leg and hobbling a little bit. A lion is smart enough to realize that that's a lot easier to attack than the ones that can run a lot faster. So the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he finds someone that he thinks is an easy target, guess what? He's going to go on the attack. And that's where I believe Paul says, you know what, you can stop a lot of that if you'll just stop giving place to the devil in the first place. And if I can stop from giving him access, then I've got a lot better shot of kind of fending off the attacks of the devil tonight. And he's going to attack. And he's going to come after you. For instance, tonight, every individual tonight, you are under the radar of the devil tonight. Every marriage here tonight, you're under the radar of the devil tonight. This very church tonight is under the radar of the devil. Don't you realize tonight the devil would love to destroy even our church tonight if he could? He'd like to break up your marriage. He'd like to ruin your children. He'd like to destroy your life. And I'm telling you tonight, the devil is our adversary. He is not our friend. And Paul tells us here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 that I am not to give place to the devil. Don't give him opportunities to attack. And I thought to myself how smart it would be if we could just live our life in such a way where we don't give him that place. Now, with that being said tonight, I want us to think a little bit about how can we give place to the devil? I mean, what are ways that I can give opportunities to the devil? Well, we could list a million. I jotted down just a few tonight, and we could even discuss it openly tonight and probably think about things that maybe somebody else has an idea that maybe I don't, or vice versa. But well, there's so many ways the devil can attack. We often hear comments about, you know, the day and age that we live in. It's not like it was when I was a child. And you'll hear people make comments like that. And that's very true. And I think there's a lot more opportunities out there for the devil tonight. For instance, tonight, I believe that, for instance, tonight's Wednesday night. I just believe in going to church. I'm just one of those people, and we can debate that if you want to, but I just think it's wise to be in God's house. I think this is the place to be. I think this is the right place to be. I honestly believe tonight this is where God wants me to be tonight. And I think if God wants me to be here tonight, then I ought to be there. And I believe there's a reason, a purpose of why God wants us. And I don't have a lot of time to discuss a little bit, but I think the local New Testament church that God's given to us is very, very important. By the way, the church, which we make up the church tonight, Jesus shed His blood for the church tonight. I mean, it's that important tonight, the church, and it's so important tonight, but yet to most believers tonight, it's not that important. That's why churches are struggling today. You take the national average just in our country tonight on church attendance, and I got news for you, it's down. And it's been going down year after year after year after year. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people struggle sometimes. I just believe that to get off to a good start in the week, where you started off is in the house of God. And I just believe that when we stop going to church and we decide, well, I think I'll just lay out for a while and I'm going to stop going, then I think that you are a prime target for the devil himself. Now, I'm not saying tonight that he's not going to attack you because you went to church tonight, but I just believe tonight, for instance, I believe that you live your life in such a way that makes the devil realize that you're a hard candidate to try to get. Because if the devil thinks you're an easy target, he's going after you tonight. Now, I'm not saying tonight that you can live your life in such a way that you'll never get attacked. I'm just saying I'm trying to limit the attacks that the devil puts on my life. I'm trying to limit that place. I'm trying to stop any access. I'm trying to get rid of any opportunity that the devil may be looking for in life. And I believe one of the best ways to start is just going to church and just being where you ought to be. Well, I'm tired. Well, and I understand that. I understand, I always felt like Wednesday nights was the hardest service to go to. You've been active all day. You've worked all day. I know what it's like to run in and sit in a pew and sit down for the first time and get comfortable for the first time. And when you finally sit down and you finally get comfortable out of a hard day, you know what the first thing that your body wants to do? It's wanting to go to sleep. But you got to fight that. By the way, the devil would love for us to sleep in church. Church attendance. I think that's one of the ways, hey, to try to close that door and shut that place, not give the devil access in that area. Go to church because I believe that God honors faithfulness. I really believe tonight that God speaks to His people through the preacher, which is Brother Richardson in our church. I believe that God works and speaks through him to us. And if we're not here, we don't receive the message. And when I don't receive the message that God had for me, then it may be that I needed what the Lord was going to give me because God knows what's going to happen down the road this week. I understand sometimes things come up, and I understand that. Totally understandable tonight. But I don't think we ought to use it as an excuse all the time to lay out of the house of God. Tonight, well, we could mention a lot of things. I think we ought to walk with God. We could talk about reading our Bibles, and we could talk about prayer tonight and how that those are avenues that we ought to work on to fend off the devil and work on not giving him a place in our life. And then we go to a lot of practical areas of life. A big thing in society today is music. Music is an avenue the devil can use. I think God's people ought to listen to the right kind of music. Music is an avenue that if you're not careful, it'll open up a door for the devil like you've never seen before. We could talk about television tonight. I'll be honest with you, there's not much on television that a child of God can watch anymore. I mean, I got news for you. It's not Mayberry on television anymore. We're pretty proud. Our boys, they started watching a show that they're very interested in, and it's Gilligan's Island. And it's just not much wholesome shows anymore on television. You got to be careful with what comes across the TV set. We got to be careful with the music that we listen to and the entertainment that we get involved in. We've got to be careful. We talked a little bit the other day, even in our Sunday school lesson, about who our friends are. Because relationship with friends has a big influence on our life, and the devil can even use a friend. And I'm not talking about just young people. I'm talking about adults tonight. I'm talking about teenagers tonight. I'm talking about children tonight. We've got to be careful that we don't give the devil place in our life. We've got to be careful there's so many things. We need to be careful what we read. We need to be careful what we look at. We need to be careful what we listen to. You know, the Bible talks about the inlets into our heart and our soul and our mind, and it's our eyes and our ears and what we touch and all those. And it's very, very important that we understand even tonight that if we're not careful, you can allow an opportunity for the devil to really go to work. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't need to give him any opportunities in my life. I mean, life's hard enough. I don't need him piling on. And I promise you tonight, if you give him an opportunity, he'll always take that opportunity. Why? Because he's like a lion. I mean, he's just roaming around. I mean, he's roaming right now. He's looking for someone that he can devour. He's looking for someone that's got a weak spot or a weak link, or maybe they've cracked the door open into their soul or their hearts or their minds, and maybe they've given some access to this area of their life, and they've kind of given the devil an opportunity over here in their life, and he'll always take it every single time, dear friend. And when you give him place, he'll always move right in. Kind of a creepy thought, I guess, a little bit tonight, but I've always thought this. I think the devil knows who's in church and who's not in church tonight. I've said this before, and I think I made a few people mad. I think the devil's got perfect church attendance and knows who's here and He knows who's. And I, you know, go back. I understand. I mean, people with jobs and so forth, and I understand that we all get sick at different times, and I understand all that. But you know, we ought to work to strive to be all that Christ wants us to be, and we ought to come to the house of God. And by the way, we'll not just come. We ought to come hungry. I mean, we ought to come expecting. We ought to come asking God to do something and to work and to speak. And man, I need to be changed. I don't need to leave out of church week after week the same old person that I've always been. I mean, I need God to work in my life. I mean, there's a world out there that needs to be saved, that needs Christ, that needs a witness unto them. And, you know, it's going to be hard to be a good witness in this wicked world we live in if we don't get what we need from God. And it's not just at church either. By the way, it's not just... Brother Richardson's job as our pastor tonight is not to make us grow. That, you know, whether you grow spiritually or not is your choice. And you know, sometimes people will always want to point a finger at the pastor. They always want to point a finger at the church and this and that and what they did or what they didn't do and so forth. Hey, dear friend, whether you make it or not in your spiritual life, it's all on you, dear friend. You make that choice from day to day. What we look at is important that we understand. And for instance, tonight, there's a reason why we send our children to the Christian school here. To be honest with you, the reason we send our children here, I mean, not just one reason, but several reasons, but one of those reasons will be that we try our best to protect them as much as we can from the world. Somebody, well, I promise you, they're going to get the influence even at a Christian school. They will, but not as bad as they would at a public school. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to limit the access of the devil. Christian school is a wonderful ministry for the church to ever have. Why? Because it can take children and try to shield them, and not only shield them, but also teach them and encourage them in the things of God. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to limit the access that the devil has. Does it completely eliminate any access? No. But, you know, we can debate Christian education if you want to. I'm just a big believer in Christian school. Does it make perfect children? Not at all. I've always said this, and I've made comments here many times, this church was perfect till we walked in, because we're very imperfect people. Why do we have rules in life? Why do we have guidelines? Why do we have standards that we try to live by and measure up to? Why? Because we're trying to live for God, but yet also I'm trying to limit the access that the devil has to my life. Boy, you talk today, we could talk about internet access. Boy, a lot of opportunities out there for a child or even adults to get into. I mean, it's a shame. I've known of people been married for 35 years and run off and leave their wife behind for some woman they met on the internet. And that's not something new. Things like that have happened down through history. I understand that. But I'm just saying that the internet is a wonderful tool, has a lot of good things about it. One of the best things that's ever happened to a missionary is internet. But along with that, there comes a lot of access to bad, too. And let's be honest, the devil is pretty smart, and he's used it pretty well for his advantage as well. You got to be careful there. I mean, we could talk about cell phones. Is anything sinful about a cell phone? Not at all. I own one. But they can be used wrongly. And now smartphones and access to internet and total communication all the time. You know, I don't know if it's good just to be always talking to someone all the time. Now, I hadn't found it yet in the Bible, and I'm looking for it. If you can find it for me, you let me know. But there's just something wrong about somebody that wants to talk on the phone all the time. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, after a while, you got to run out of stuff to talk about. But we go back to verse 27. It's very interesting. It's just a very short verse that Paul puts right in here. He talks in verse 26 about, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." Verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more." It's interesting. Paul puts that verse right in this chapter here about how you need to be careful that you do not give place, don't give access, don't give opportunities to the devil, because when you give it to him, he'll take it every single time. And always remember, the devil is like a lion, a roaring lion. What's he doing? He is seeking whom he may devour. Now don't be here tonight and say, "Well, he'd never come after me." Oh yeah, he'll come after you. That's a promise. I promise you can bank on it. He's coming after you. I've often wondered how many times has the devil looked at me and passed by and thought, "You know, he's probably a little tough today. I think I'll move on to somebody else." And then I wonder how many times has there been opportunities where the devil's looked at me and said, "You know, I think there's an opportunity right there. I think I'll jump in on that right there and take that opportunity. And I'll take that place that he gives me right there." Well, we ought to be very, very observant every day that we live, because all it takes is just one opportunity. You know, there's been churches destroyed by the devil himself just because somebody gave him just one opportunity. And that may be all he needs. Just one. Be careful and realize that the devil is seeking whom he may devour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. And I pray that you help us to realize so many important facts that we find just in this one chapter in Ephesians 4. And Lord, I pray that you help us to even take to heart that one small little verse about how that we are not to give place to the devil. And God, we know tonight he's looking for a place. And God, help us to board up in his place that may be an opportunity. And Lord, may we protect ourselves and our marriages and our homes and our children and our church. And Lord, each individual, that we realize how important it is that we live our life every day being observant for the wiles and the tricks of the devil. Lord, we pray for Brother Richardson once again. We pray for your blessings in his life. We pray, Lord, that you would refresh him and encourage him. And Lord, give him strength and give him protection as he comes home tomorrow. We love you. We pray for the remainder of our week that you go with us. We pray that you would empower us. We pray that you would, Lord, grant us the wisdom that we need to make the right choices from day to day. Help us to be a good witness. Help us to be a testimony unto you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.